hour number three of Midday with Trey and BK. Coming up at 12:50, we will crosstalk with Rod Babers or ourselves, depending on if Rod can get back to the studio in time. Shooting the bull at 12:30, we dive deep into one of the all-time great news stories. Do you see the leprechaun? And in mere minutes, Sam Paniatovich of Vegas Stats and Information Network will help us handicap the first round games from March Madness. I'm Trey Elling. Brad Kellner is across from me. Adam Wagner behind the glass. Text us. The Specs text line is 337-3776. Give us a follow on Twitter as well, at Brad Kellner, at NotTheFakeWags, and at CourtesyWaveBK.
Trey, I have tweeted it out officially. There's no turning back. There are no more changes that can be made.
Sure you can.
It is in pen, and it is on Twitter. My bracket has been tweeted, at Brad Kellner. So check it out. Let me know what you think.
Could you not give us the view, the perspective that
I couldn't figure out how to take
come
the picture.
On man
I couldn't figure out how to turn it if this I is, turned it would crop out half the bracket
this is no it but when you click on the picture though it doesn't crop it anymore
I'm not good with technology.
You got to redo this one.
I'm a bad millennial. Just turn your eyes. I ain't got to redo nothing.
Turn your eyes.
What do you think? No ACC teams in the Final Four?
Oh, I see what you did here. You tweeted out your NIT bracket.
It's official. The bracket is out. The Hornets will be cutting down the nets at Madison Square Garden April 4th.
I don't know how many of these that you have filled out, these being NIT brackets.
Every year.
But I can guarantee you that your winner for this year's NIT bracket is not going to be Texas. Oh. Is there a way to bet on that and actually get some sort of value in return?
No, bet on not Texas winning the whole NIT. Yeah, you would get the worst odds. Or the field for a 2 seed in the NIT? No, you would get the worst odds. I mean, we can ask Sam.
Yeah, you know what?
Let's
ask Sam. We'll start there at the Vaqueros hotline. We welcome our buddy Sam Paniatovich from VSIN. That's Vegas Stats and Information Network to the show. He joined us throughout the football season, joins us now as well. VSIN is on SiriusXM channel 204. Also VSIN.com. That's VSIN.com. Sam, thank you as always for the time. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. I got a headache, so I'm trying to read VK's bracket. Why is it sideways? What is going on?
How do you tweet it to where it's not sideways?
You rotate the picture before you upload the picture.
I couldn't rotate it without it cropping out half the bracket, Sam. How do I do this?
I don't know, BK. We'll work on Twitter one-on-one at a different time. I can tell you, though, that Texas is 10-1 to win the NIT, so 10 bucks wins you 100. 100 wins you 1,000, and I think that might save Shaka Smart's job, right? If he wins the NIT, maybe?
I don't know right now, Sam. It sounds like there's some maneuvering behind the scenes to see if they can find him a soft landing spot out east, maybe a Wake Forest or Virginia Tech if Buzz Williams ends up coming to A&M. That seems to be the likely scenario if Shaka Smart is not back at Texas next year. Otherwise, they're just going to have to eat it because they still owe him entirely too much money on that contract. I think it's $13 million plus whatever he is owed, whatever his assistants are owed as well. So it seems like right now, regardless of what happens in the next couple of days, whether Texas loses tonight and technically finish with a below 500 record, that there's a pretty good shot Shaka Smart will be back in Austin in 2019-2020.
Yeah, there's some rumors I'm building, too, that like UNLV wants Shaka Smart. Can you imagine going from Texas to UNLV? That'd be like going from the Lakers to, like, the Shanghai Sharks. It's just like it's not the trajectory you would have ever wanted.
Are you seriously hearing that out there, that UNLV is in on him now?
Yeah, they want him. That's the guy near the top of their hit list for sure. Now, they wanted Fred Hoiberg.
The mayor.
You do the math. Nebraska. Yeah, Nebraska or UNLV. Who's got more money? I saw that like every Big Ten school gets an average of like $30, $35 million a year for TV contract, and the average Mountain West team gets $1 million. So I don't think that's too tough of a decision. So reportedly, Tim Miles on the way out in Nebraska, and then that would make room for the mayor, our guy, Fred Hoiberg, to go to Nebraska. But that's neither here nor there, man. I got these tournament brackets ready. I mean, actually, I haven't even filled the bracket out, and when I do put it up, it won't be sideways. But I have made some bets so far. You guys interested in some of these bets I made?
Yeah. What is maybe your favorite matchup from the first round that you feel the best about?
So I think Seton Hall. I took three with Seton Hall against Wofford. there are always these teams every year, and a lot of people come into March not having watched Jack, right? They haven't watched a single game, and now they're like, oh, like, Wofford's really good. Dan Dockich has Wofford in, like, his elite eight. So I'm like, all right, they're losing in the first round. He also has Yale in the Sweet 16. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, like, this is the time. Because everybody comes out now and they've got their sleepers. I think Wofford's a very good basketball team. But this draw sucks for them. If they can get past Seton Hall, and Wofford opened up as a two-point favorite. They've been bet to three already. I took plus three with Seton Hall. But with Wofford, if they can beat Seton Hall, then they get Kentucky. This was a team that I wanted to put far, but just as far as the way that the draw shook out for them, this is a terrible draw because Seton Hall is hot right now. They played really well down the home stretch. They almost beat Villanova in the Big East championship game, lost by, I think, 3 or 4 points or so. They were right there. They could have won that game. I think it's a really tough matchup for them. They have the backcourt to give Wofford fits. And as far as athletic ability, you know, Seton Hall is way more athleticism, way more speed, way more size than Wofford. I really felt bad for the Terriers because I like that team. They've got like three guys shooting 40% from three, but this is just a tough draw for them playing Seton Hall. So I took three with Seton Hall. I have Washington, even though Washington has been awful down the stretch. I still think that 2-3 zone is going to give Utah State some issues, but I grabbed 3 points with Washington. And then I also, I laid 6 with Iowa State against Ohio State. I've seen Ohio State play 10 times this year. They're just not that good of a basketball team. And I'm also going to fade Iowa. Cincinnati laid 3 with the Bearcats. That's a team every year you look up and they're like in the Sweet 16 because they guard the hell out of you. They win games like 55-50, 60-55 with the tournament. And I think Iowa, they're just an awful defensive team. I mean, they gave up 90 points to Rutgers this year. How do you give up 90 points to Rutgers? Iowa to me is a sell team. Same with Ohio State. I just love to go against teams that I've been against all year. And I made a lot of money going against Ohio State and going against Iowa.
Sam, I'm looking at your Twitter account right now, at SPSchute, and you tweeted out a couple of days ago some early tournament leans. And you mentioned all those games, so they're all out there for the public. Everyone can get in on those. I am a Kansas basketball fan, though, Sam. And you say you like Kansas. They're at 7-8 right now in their first matchup against Northeastern. You know, one of the things I look at when picking relatively big first-round upsets is I just kind of look at the what have you done for me lately. And I think Kansas is as high as a 4 seed because of what they did in the non-con and early on in the season. Even though they went to the finals in the Big 12 Conference Tournament, this is a team that really struggled down the stretch. Northeastern's got 3 white dudes who shoot 40% from 3. That seems like a tournament upset special for me. Tell me why you're confident in Kansas getting past that first round.
Because everybody's picking Northeastern. I mean, the mailman came by and was like, hey, yeah, kind of like Northeastern. I'm like, yeah, I bet you do, dude. You know, it's like it's a team from the Colonial. They're pretty well coached. I like Bill Cohen a lot. And they had some pretty strong wins this year. They beat Alabama. They beat Harvard. They hung around really close against Davidson a couple times. They got blasted by Virginia Tech. But I don't think that they really, you know, and this is the toughest team they're going to play all season long. And Kansas just, they have the size inside. When you put in, you know, Dedrick Lawson and Lightfoot, and you just have the bodies underneath that can give them problems. And I still think Kansas, you know, even though they didn't play that well, they were 23-10, they were 14-4. I'm looking at Northeastern now. Kansas finished the season, let's see, just lost my spot here. Regardless, Kansas has 4 guards that would start at Northeastern. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't think fading Kansas in the first round of the tournament with a coach that knows how to win is a great recipe for success. And I'm telling you what, this line opened up when we had these lines come out on Sunday afternoon. The Jayhawks were about an 8.5-point favorite, and now I'm looking at 7. All I have to do is lay 7. Now, the luster is gone off of Northeastern. I mentioned Wofford earlier. Yale is another team. Yale got bet from 10 down to 7 against LSU. And Northeastern got bet from 8.5 down to 7 against Kansas. I think those are 2 public teams. Like, everybody's on them, and usually when that's the case, they get drilled in the first round. You could look up, BK, would you be stunned if Kansas was up 20-5 in the first 8 minutes? I mean, I wouldn't. It's just a tough draw for a really good mid-major team against a Kansas team that didn't really play that well. But still, when it comes down to it, who do you like on a neutral court? You like Bill Self or Bill Cohen? It's easy for me.
Yeah, and the emergence of McCormick as well has me feeling a little bit better about the Jayhawks, too. They did a good job of getting to the championship game and lost to an Iowa State team that really caught fire over those 3 days to win the Big 12 championship and the automatic berth. Now, Sam, I see that on your picks that you like the double-digit dog Old Dominion to at least cover, I think it's like 12.5 or 13.5 over Purdue. Do you give them a chance to actually win that game outright? If not, what is a double-digit seed, maybe a seed going up against a 2 or 3 or maybe even a 4 that you think has a good chance to pull off the outright upset?
Yeah, that's always really the case when you look at an underdog. And that list I put out Sunday, you know, I have a couple dogs on there. I've got Vermont plus 11.5. I think that team has a chance to beat Florida State. Florida State's not going to sneak up on anybody anymore. That's because they made a nice little run to face Duke in the ACC tournament. But eventually, you know, Duke put them away because that's what Duke does. But Vermont, another upper-class team, a lot of great shooters and scorers. And remember, that game was played in Hartford, Connecticut. That's a stone's throw from Vermont. So that's a de facto, you know, regional home game for Vermont. They're going to travel really well to that game. The Catamounts are a really good upper-class team. I think Vermont has a chance to stun Florida State. So I took the 11.5 with Vermont. And the other double-digit dog you asked about, Old Dominion, I don't know if they can beat Purdue, but I think that's going to be a you know, maybe like a 6-point game with a minute left to go, because Old Dominion, they're very good at mucking games up and keeping them ugly. Purdue, we've had reports out of West Lafayette for weeks about Carson Edwards, and he's just not healthy. He's also the type of player that he can win you a game. He can also shoot you out of a game. I mean, there are games Carson Edwards has played this year where, you know, from 3-point range, he's like 2 of 11 or, you know, 4 of 12. It's just like he's just a gunner and a chucker. And there's a lot of possessions with Purdue where he's got the ball and everybody else is sort of standing around. And usually teams like that that are predicated on one player, usually they don't go that far. And I'm just not sold on Purdue. Matt Humans, one of my co-hosts over at VSiN, he said he made this turn number 7. He is not high on Purdue at all. Now, I wouldn't make it 7. But the fact that it's 12.5, I think that's way too many points. You could even take 13 in a couple places. So as far as the double-digit dogs go, I think Vermont and Old Dominion have a great chance, both of them, of covering. And I think Vermont is going to be a team that's going to possibly win this first-round matchup against Florida State.
Wow, a very intriguing matchup right there. I know a lot of folks really like Florida State to make a run, so that could ruin some brackets. All right, Sam, I'll go a little bit easier on you. The popular upset pick every year is your 12 over the 5 seed. Now, the 5s have actually fared a little bit better in recent history, but still, people love choosing that 12-5 upset. Your games, Mississippi State and Liberty, Marquette and Murray State, Auburn, New Mexico State, and Wisconsin and Oregon. Are there 12 seeds that you really like to pull off the outright upset in the first round?
I'd be looking at Liberty. This is 821, 822 on your Vegas rotation board. I think the Liberty squad, they're starting to get some money, too, in the markets. I wanted to take plus 8, but right away 8 went on to 7. Liberty's a team I think is very well coached, and that's a team that, you know, definitely has the guns, you know, to survive from downtown and to win a basketball game, maybe even to 28-6 this year. I mean, you look at what they did in the regular season. They hung with Georgetown. They played a couple other, you know, Lipscomb. You know, they hung around against some pretty good teams, Alabama on a neutral court. So they were tested, and they usually were able to rise to the occasion here. 14-2 in conference. You look at some of these games, they weren't really all that close. In conference, won by 18, 18, 21, 25, 20, 21, 18, 20. I mean, there's a trend here. They drill teams. They beat teams handily. And Liberty taking on a team in Mississippi State, I'm just not sold on Mississippi State this year. I think they had a pretty easy schedule. I would look at Liberty to potentially win outright. The one game I'm not going to pick, I love to pick Wisconsin in March. And usually I would do that, but I watched them in the Big Ten tournament. I think the game that they barely got past Maryland, they had 17 or 18 turnovers. And then against Michigan, they shot something like 2 of 18 or 3 of 19 from 3. It's not the Wisconsin team that we're used to seeing. But I'm not going to pick Oregon because everybody's on Oregon in this game. I mean, like, everybody's picking them. They've won 8 games in a row. If I hear one more time that Peyton Pritchard is the next Steve Nash, I'm going to blow my brain out. I'm like, what? Yeah, Bill, he's the next like, no, he's not, Walton. No, he's not. But that's neither here or there. It's just like Oregon is just too popular. You guys are getting a sense of pretty much how I roll here. And you guys know this going back to football season.
Yeah.
I do not love the team that everybody else wants to pick. And there's not a more popular pick in the first round than the Oregon Ducks. I like them. I think they're well coached. I'm a big fan of Dana Altman. But I'm not going to go down with the Oregon ship because I wouldn't be surprised if Wisconsin slipped that one out. So if I had to pick 1-5-12 as far as an upset, I'd go with Liberty over Mississippi State. That's in the East region, top left bracket.
Yeah, the entire Pac-12 sucked this year. I think I'm picking all three Pac-12 teams to lose in the first round. Arizona State, Oregon, and Washington as well, the regular season champ. The one team that everybody thought was the one lock for that conference this year. Now, on the flip side, Sam, Oregon got hot, won the Pac-12 tournament against a bunch of mediocre competition. That's not really doing much for you. Is there a team that you watch play in their conference tournament who was maybe on the bubble or a fringe-level tourney team heading into that tournament, but based on how they played in the tournament, you're much higher on them now?
I was really impressed. I mean, I said off the top, I'm a big fan of Iowa State in the first round. I think that that's a team that if they win that first game against Ohio State, which they will, and I hope they cover, too. I hope they cover the six. They're in that Midwest region, bottom half of the bracket. If they beat Ohio State, they have every chance in the world to beat Houston. Houston's the three. Iowa State is the six. Iowa State, guys, they could give Kentucky a game. I'm telling you, I haven't filled out my bracket yet because I usually get my picks in order first, and then I usually fill the bracket out. One bracket, by the way, not two, not ten, one bracket. But I'm very seriously considering putting Iowa State over Kentucky in the bottom of the Midwest region. So I might have Carolina-Iowa State in that regional final. Yeah, Carolina-Iowa State, I could Vitalis. Did you guys see Vitalis Elite Eight, by the way?
1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. He's a bold guy.
Yeah. And he couldn't name, you know, five players on any team aside from Duke or Carolina. I try and have more fun with it than that. But some team, you know, if we're not going to do 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, I'm looking at, you know, a potential Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech could give Duke their best shot. That's a potential upset there in the South. I'm a big fan of Cincinnati. Like I said, I like that 7 seed there. In the West, Buffalo to me. Buffalo, the 6 seed there. Buffalo is so good.
Really?
I've seen Buffalo play probably 10 times this year. Yeah, they could beat Texas Tech. I would not be stunned at all. Tech, they go, I mean, you guys have seen Tech. I mean, they go serious stretches without scoring. And Buffalo can score. Buffalo scored about 85 points a game. And then in the other Midwest bracket, my sleeper is Iowa State.
I like that. I'm glad you brought up Texas Tech. I was going to ask you about that. Not a whole lot of love here in the state of Texas. Of course, no UT, no A&M. But it sounds like you could see Houston and Texas Tech both losing before the second weekend. Sam, I do want to ask just your thoughts on the next couple of nights for folks who are trying to get out in front of this thing. Do you like any of these play-in games? I know it's tough to bet on 16 versus 16, but the Temple-Belmont game or the Arizona State-St. John's game, do you like any action on the what's going on the next two nights?
Yeah, I've got a 10-star lock of the decade on Fairleigh Dickinson against Prairie View. No, I'm kidding. I can't even go there. But the one thing I keep, you know, trying to figure out is anybody betting Temple tonight? And this is a game at 6:10, Belmont against Temple. And this line opened up when the South Point put these numbers up. They made the game a pick'em. So essentially, here you go, pick the winner, and if you get it right, you win your money. Belmont is now a 3.5-point favorite. I don't understand how it's moved that much, but, I mean, that just tells you that everybody is betting on Belmont. I talked to one bookmaker in Vegas. He said 90% of our bets are on Belmont. Now, usually that's not a good thing because you guys have been to Vegas and the chandeliers don't hang themselves to Vegas. But everybody is betting on Belmont here. I don't usually play a lot of the play-in games, but if I had to pick one, you got two today and two tomorrow. I would go with the Temple Owls here getting 3.5 points. I think they could win this game. I wouldn't be surprised either way. But even if they lose by 1, 2, or 3, you cash a ticket here. And this is the swan song for Fran Dunphy at Temple. Owls are a really good ball club. They come out of a strong conference. A-10 always makes noise in March. And I think Temple getting 3.5 is just too many points.
All right, Sam, before we let you go, and we'll probably have you on over the next couple of weeks, so we'll let you change these on the fly. But before the tournament starts, we need a Final Four, and we need your national championship prediction.
Oh, boy. I haven't done this yet, so I'm doing it. I'm just kind of winging it here. I'm going to go Michigan State. They're finally going to get past Duke in the East region. So I'll go with a 2 in the East. I think Virginia just has a very easy bracket. Not a fan of Virginia usually in March because I think it's tough to win that style over six games, but that's the easiest bracket. I think Virginia is going to win the South. In the West, I've got Gonzaga, my national champion. Mark Few, finally, I think he's going to get over the hump and win a national championship. And then North Carolina in the Midwest. So a 2, a 1, a 1, and a 1. Not the most bold bracket in the world, but I think it's going to be Gonzaga over Carolina. And that'd be a rematch of the Final Four a couple years ago, yeah, or the national championship when Carolina beat Gonzaga by a few points. I think Gonzaga returns the favor. They've been my number one team all season long in my power rating. So I'm going to go Gonzaga over Carolina, a 1 over a 1. And my other two would be Michigan State and Virginia.
Here it is. He is Sam Panayotovich of Vegas Stats and Information Network. Check out his work at vsin.com. Also give him a follow on Twitter at SPShoot. Sam, thank you as always for the time. We'll talk to you next week if that's cool with you.
Thanks, Sam.
All right. Enjoy the NIT, BK.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Yeah, I can. Actually, I could wait a long time to not have to watch the NIT.
I would maybe have faith in Texas winning the NIT if they still had Jackson Hayes. The fact that he's not playing tonight and likely not playing again for Texas before declaring for the NBA draft, that does not serve this team well.
Do you have faith in Texas winning tonight, the first round of the NIT?
I have them losing tonight.
Uh-oh, that's going to ruin my bracket.
I know.
I've got the Horns winning it all, dog.
You, for all the brackets you've
beating
torn up.
Beating Sister Jean in the Final Four and then beating Steph Curry and Davidson in the finals.
We already got the breaking news on this one. Sister Jean has already said that she is not attending Loyola's games at Madison Square Garden if they make it there because she has better things to do.
It's a damn shame. Damn shame.
That's how little the NIT means.
They're playing Creighton tonight, Sister Jean in Loyola, Chicago. All right, thanks to Sam Panayotovich for the time. A reminder, we're going to keep reminding you it's going to be a broken record. Go to hornfm.com and join our free bracket pick 'em challenge. Winner gets $500 in cold hard cash. Can't get a better prize at any radio station, I promise. We usually just give you crap that we get for free. No, we're giving you actual
straight cash, homie.
Hey. Free to join. You get to compete against all of us, hornfm.com. Let's take a break. Trey, St. Patrick's Day was on Sunday, and there's a classic piece of audio that we have to play and delve into.
With a capital C.
With a capital C. And also, what the hell happened during Selection Monday yesterday? Are you kidding me? Come on, ESPN. Get it right for the ladies. They deserve better. That's next in Shooting the Bull. It's Trey and BK on the Horn.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK. Thanks again to Sam Panayotovich for joining the program as he did throughout the football season and will likely do again next week and maybe even prior to the Final Four as well. Hey, the races are coming up this weekend.
The races.
The IndyCar races.
Ah, okay.
As the liner card so inconspicuously says. That's Friday, March 22nd through Sunday, March 24th. Plan to stay late after the race on Saturday for a live performance by Muse. Bucky and Aaron will be giving away four packs of tickets from the 19th through the 21st. Call during B&E's morning show for your chance to win one of those four packs of tickets at any point during the morning show. Just give BK a call. You should probably keep those phone lines fairly full from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. to make sure that Wags gets in on that action as well. You never know. BK may feel nice enough to want to give away one of the four packs of tickets. Or for additional ticket info, visit hornfm.com or circuitoftheamericas.com.
Why are you doing that to me?
I'm sorry, that was a jerk move by me.
And to the people. Why are you lying to the people, man?
Because I've got to answer those phones as well.
Not in the morning show. You don't have to do that. You're not giving any away. And Chad and Kevin, plus you take like four afternoon shows off a week anyways.
They'll just forget and put it on our show anyways.
There is a chance that I will be missing next Thursday's afternoon show because I'm going to have some sort of PGA Tour level access to the Dell Match Play
next
Thursday.
You didn't tell us about.
Again. I might Excuse me, can you let me finish? I might actually have one for you as well that gives you access to every part of the golf course.
That's going to be a letdown when it doesn't
happen.
Can you
help me out too, please?
Nope.
Somebody needs to run the board, I get it.
No, I'm going to get somebody else to run the board. You're just
Thanks,
SOL.
Just going to be suffering.
Just SOL.
You're just, take the day off, kid. Take the day off, kid. All right, we have to get to this. A classic piece of audio. We'll do it, though, in Shooting the Bull.
Shooting the Bull.
Shooting the Bull, sponsored by Audiovisual Consultations.
255-8678, the phone number to call to get the home TV setup of your dreams. I'll be watching all of the tournament action from the comfort of my own bedroom with the 4 TV setup that I have next to Tom McKay and AV Consultations. They can do the same for you, whether it's 1 TV, 4 TVs, 100 TVs, they got your back. And if you're hitting Pluckers, maybe you're going to Pluckers to watch some of the action this weekend. Think of Tom McKay, man. That's what he did. You can do something like that in your home or something probably not as crazy. I don't know if you need all that going on. But a lot of your favorite restaurants, sports bars around Central Texas, AV Consultations has installed their TVs and sound. They can do the same for your home or business. Call them, 255-8678-TREY.
All right, BK. St. Patty's Day was this last Sunday. The celebration that most people engage in, yourself included, you were up in Dallas, is on Saturday. Lots of places around this country celebrate St. Patrick's Day, the Saturday before the actual holiday. And one of the icons of this holiday is the leprechaun, right?
Of course.
The leprechaun is very well known in Irish myth, and it's part of the reason why it's so popular around St. Patrick's Day. Well, anytime it comes to St. Patrick's Day, I can't help but to think about and usually play the audio and video of a news report from Mobile, Alabama. And this would have been several years ago now, more than a decade ago.
06.
06. Mm-hmm. Okay, so nearly 15 years ago now, where they covered a local neighborhood where the residents were convinced that they were seeing some sort of leprechaun up in a tree. And so we're going to go through this audio right now. It's about 2.5 minutes in length, but we're going to be pausing it throughout and break down what's going on here. Ready?
Oh, man.
Did you hear about this for the first time on the ticket? Because I think that was the first place I heard it way back in the day.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I just think this thing went viral like 10 years ago or 15 years ago whenever it came out. This is like one of the first YouTube viral videos ever. And it still cracks me up. The audio, the video, the amateur sketch. That is in the sketch of the leprechaun, dude.
Yeah.
The worst sketch ever. The fact that they put this on a television broadcast. This is an NBC affiliate in Mobile, Alabama, who played this and put together this news story. This one of my favorite stories in the history of stories.
All right. Here we go. Let's start it up and be ready with the pause button, Wags.
Well, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Crichton area of Mobile say a leprechaun has taken up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community. Many of you bring binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to do look up in the tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yay? Yeah!
Yeah! Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff and it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
We don't get down to the bottom.
Hold on, pause for a second. I love how the alternate theories or something up in the tree that's casting a shadow. And
it
then
could
also
be a crackhead. I got caught on the wrong stuff. And that's hilarious.
The other theory is a crackhead, just a crackhead who climbed up a tree because he's so cracked out.
It's a shadow a guy's seeing and a crackhead. And then the original first audio cut that we had was a guy saying that, hey, y'all seen the leprechaun say yeah? And there's like a crowd of people around him going nuts. It's like a concert. Like the leprechaun is coming to town for a show.
Yeah, the number of people surrounding this area is borderline unbelievable. There are that many people, and I guarantee you not even half of them saw what others think they're seeing with
Does
the leprechaun.
Does Tony Phil get this type of turnout?
I think so. maybe a little bit less enthusiasm, but I think so.
I'm tweeting out the amateur sketch before we keep going, man. This thing is absurd. Absurd, absurd. All right, keep it going, Lex.
Continue.
We're going to get down to the bottom of this. You're still on there, guy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, man.
This guy, helping to direct traffic, says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This waters off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish.
Pause. This is the point where I'm starting to wonder if this is all a setup.
A special leprechaun flute that's been passed down for generations.
Because the flute is legitimately a narrow piece of PVC pipe.
PVC.
PVC pipe,
jeez.
Thank you. That has holes drilled into it, like it's some sort of recorder from mythical times. And this guy claims it's something that's going to help out with the leprechauns.
Is it that or is it another device?
I don't think it was a smoking device, okay. No. I don't think it was a smoking device. I think it was the guy just having fun with this situation. So I do wonder if, like, a local theater troupe created this stir and got everybody on board with it.
No way, dude. In Crichton, Alabama?
How could this many people... I mean, this guy clearly, his dad, I don't want to say clearly his dad's not Irish, but his dad's not Irish. And there's no way that his granddad.
Maybe leprechauns have been invading the streets of Crichton, Alabama for a long time, okay?
I don't know, maybe.
All right, keep it going, Wax.
I just came to help out.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
This is Brian Johnson, NBC 15 News.
Oh, people will do anything for a pot of gold.
That is absurd.
And they also comment on the sketch in the follow-up to the news story about just how ridiculous it is.
Our power rankings tomorrow should be the top five audio cuts from that. I'm not sure how I would rank those as my favorites.
I could go with that if we're not going to do
those
our...
Those are absurd.
Favorite potato.
No, it's tomorrow's episode 420. It has to be food related.
Yeah, that's true.
Potato chips. I think we decided last week we're doing potato chips or potato power rankings themselves.
Okay.
Got to figure that out. I just retweeted that if you want to go watch it for yourself. I mean, I could play that video every day and not get tired of it. It's awesome.
It's very good.
All right, we'll take a break. Man. I've seen the leprechaun say, yeah! Need a backhoe? Getting the backhoe to uproot a tree looking for the pot of gold?
I don't fault them for wanting to take the gold if there really is a leprechaun.
I think
that's the benefit of the leprechaun. That and the possibility of it granting you wishes if you catch it.
The crackhead theory is just hilarious, though. You got sold the wrong stuff and was just climbing around the trees.
Yeah! Crack is a hell of a drug.
Oh my gosh. You have the crackhead one, Wags? Did you mark that down? We got to play that before we go, real quick. This is in the amateur sketch.
This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff.
Jeez.
Ah, good. All right. That might have to be a drop at some point. Let's take a break. We'll get to what went wrong with ESPN yesterday. Add it to the list of things, and we will crosstalk it with Rod Babers. On the other side, it's midday with Trey and BK on the horn.
Last segment of today's midday show means it's time to cross talk it, brought to you by Emler Swim School. And thank you to those of you who are helping to clarify what the leprechaun flute was that the guy was holding. It's actually a scaffold peg from a construction site.
Mm.
So there you go. No, it's not a flute.
It was passed down from generation to generation.
Used to fight leprechauns for generations now. It is a scaffold peg.
Not a skin flute, right?
Not a skin flute. Hey, BK, we have an update on the Robert Kraft solicitation, massage parlor, 2.5-star, you know that story?
Of course.
Florida prosecutors have offered Robert Kraft a deal to drop the solicitation charges.
If he gives up a Super Bowl ring.
Not going to have to give up a Super Bowl ring. He's going to have to admit guilt. If he admits guilt, he doesn't have to have any sort of messy trial or the details are rolled out. But there are some other aspects to the deferral. If he does agree to this, he has to complete an education course about prostitution, 100 hours of community service, payment of some court costs, and this one may keep him from taking the deal, screening for sexually transmitted diseases. He's actually going to have to go in and get tested as part of the probation.
What's the other option?
Go to trial.
Go to trial and hope he wins?
Go to trial and hope he wins.
Really good lawyers, though, man.
I mean, even, can
is it the FBI he's going up against?
Can Google lawyers get you out of this if you were on video making the transaction?
That's true. Yeah, that guy's probably in trouble. He'll probably have to take this deal. Admission of guilt. How about that? I wonder if we have any more information on the sex trafficking, the human trafficking element of the story, because that's the real crisis here. Prostitution's obviously illegal in the state of Florida and in most places here, but you know that's not nearly as big of an issue for me, and I think for most, as the human trafficking element that was reportedly and allegedly a part of that story.
No question about that. Now, can Kraft use the leprechaun defense that we heard last segment?
Whether there was a crackhead who got the wrong stuff, who gave his happy ending instead.
Thought he was seeing leprechauns.
Oh, man.
He was just overcome with excitement.
I don't think that's going to fly.
All right.
Don't think that's going to fly.
Rod Babers in studio now. What's up, Rod? How you doing today?
What's up, fellas?
I got to mention this. I feel bad for the ladies, man. You know, bracketology is a big deal when the brackets are revealed. Selection Sunday for the men, Selection Monday for the women.
Mm-hmm.
This actually happened a couple years ago, if y'all remember, for the men's tournament where the brackets were released on social media.
Oh, I saw that story.
A couple hours before.
Yeah.
Last night it happened for the women. It was scheduled to start on ESPN at about 7 o'clock when
that
they were going to reveal the women's brackets. And ESPN, when they were talking bracketology for the men's, all the graphics for the women's bracket started showing on the screen.
Come on, man.
They spoiled the secret.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, come on, man.
If people were excited for Selection Monday, sorry, you got screwed.
Somebody might have got fired for that one.
I hope so. That's a fireable offense.
You hope so?
Hope so.
I don't hope anybody gets fired, but that's what I'll say.
Come on. You got to pay the price. Well, everyone gets a trophy. If someone screws up at the job, you get axed.
Just the women's tournament.
What kind of boss BK is going to be in the future?
It's a big deal.
Just the women's tournament, guys.
It's one day a year. You have one job. Don't put the selection brackets out before 7 o'clock.
You did have one job. That's true.
I bet that person has a lot of jobs, not just one job, and they were probably a little bit overwhelmed with how many things are on their plate. Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything.
Fired.
Fired.
Yep. You're fired. All right. Rodcast is coming up. 1-3. Chad and Kevin from 3-7. Texas basketball on the horn tonight. Texas baseball over on 101.9 and AM 1260. We're out of time. Thanks to Jake Hamilton and Sam Pandiatovich for joining. Thanks to all of you for texting and listening throughout the program. For the fantasy sports guru, the Marine across the glass, Adam Wagner, thank you for your service to this country and this show. For the Sultan of Cynicism, the Vomit King, Trey Elling across the table, I am BK, and we will be back to get a poppin' same time tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.